Pot Blender. With the close of the War of 1812, Lake Champlain, on the border of New York State and Canada, was considered a very strategic point. Many were the battles that had been fought there throughout the turbulent history of the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. Even during the French and Indian War, Lake Champlain had been the scene of many desperate encounters. It is 1816. At Rouse's Point, New York, a large fortification has been planned. The ground has been surveyed. Already the work of digging for the immense stone fort is on the way.
Yes, Colonel Grayson, when we finish with Fort Montgomery, we'll have a stronghold of which the United States should be proud.
How long have you been working on this project, Major?
Oh, I should say several months now. You can see that already some of the walls are going up.
Yes.
All that rock is quarried from Valcour Island, about 30 miles from Lake Champlain. It ought to stand up against the fiercest gunfire.
Yes, Major. I've always felt that we needed some sort of protection here on Lake Champlain. Of course, we aren't at war with England now, but one never knows. It would be very simple for troops from Canada to come down the Champlain-Hudson Valley straight to New York.
With this fort commanding the entrance to the lake, we needn't worry.
Oh, here comes your orderly, Major.
Yes, I wonder what he has in his mind.
Major Rankin, dispatch from the War Department, sir.
Thank you. Will you excuse me, Colonel Grayson?
Oh, by all means.
I'll open it here, if you don't mind.
Oh, what's wrong, Major? You look very upset.
I am very.
Can you tell me?
Orderly, I won't need you anymore.
Thank you, sir.
Colonel Grayson, do you know what this dispatch says?
No, Major.
The War Department congratulates me on the progress being made on the fort.
Oh, I see.
They assure me that my supervision is being watched with interest.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, they have discovered one great fault with the fortification.
Fault? I can't see a flaw.
Fort Montgomery is being built in Canada.
Canada?
Yes, a little mistake of the survey. Instead of the Canadian border running over there, it runs over there.
But, Major, this is terrible. All this work, all this money.
You think I find it amusing? Why, it's a disgrace. That's what it is, a disgrace. Why, it's the worst blunder ever made by the governor. Why, it's ridiculous.
Blunder. You found an excellent name for it, my dear Major.
What's that?
Fort Blunder. Will you invite me to the christening?
What do you mean?
Fort Blunder. Really an excellent name. An excellent name.
Strange as it seems, the United States actually did start building a gigantic fortification against a possible invasion of Canada. But they unfortunately erected it in Canada. Canada showed what she thought of border fortifications by handing the fort and the land right back to the United States by terms of the Webster-Ashburton Treaty in 1842. It was never used, and in 1908 was entirely dismantled. Fort Montgomery remains a picturesque reminder of the days when frontier fortifications were considered essential between the United States and Canada. The hymn writer who never saw a church. Throughout the world, congregations are singing the hymns of Fanny Crosby. Her beautiful hymn, Rescue the Perishing, has solaced millions of heartsick souls who have begun to doubt the very existence of a Savior. in a great cathedral on Fifth Avenue in New York City, Acquire Investments sings the sonorous words of the great hymn. The congregation in morning coats and top hats and the finest of Paris models joins in with reverence as the words of Fanny Crosby ring out. Now, on a street corner near the waterfront of San Francisco, the Salvation Army, doing its great and humanitarian work, is represented by some of its members. They stand huddled together. A cold San Francisco fog envelops them. Only a few of the most desolate flotsam of humanity are drifting along the street tonight. Fanny Crosby's words of faith may be the start of a new life to one of these bits of human driftwood. Who knows? Now, go back to the year 1900. In the little town of Southeast, New York, the church service has just been concluded. The strains of Close to Thee comes from the pipes of the old organ while the congregation sings lustily.
His face to shine upon you and give you peace from this time forth and forevermore.
Come, Fanny.
All right, Alec. It was a nice service today, wasn't it, Alec?
Yes, dear. All right, dear?
Yes. Oh, outside at last. I love the smell of the morning when it's haying time.
So do I, Fanny.
Oh, it's nice to see you here, Mrs. Van Alstyne. And you too, Mr. Van Alstyne.
Oh, you needn't say that, Dr. Brown. I know Fanny is the one everyone wants to see.
Well, we're all glad to have her with us whenever she comes up from New York City. She's one of our girls, you know.
Oh, one of your girls. My gracious, Dr. Brown. I'm 80 years old. I used to listen to sermons by your father when he was still a curate.
Well, at any rate, be with us as often as you can, Mrs. Van Alstyne. By the way, I've often wanted to ask you something.
Yes, what is it?
You mustn't mind this, but you've no idea how much help it gives me to see your sweet face down there before me.
Why, do you need help? You always sound so, so sure, so confident.
It's hard to get the young people to come to church nowadays. They don't seem to need me. I wanted to ask you.
Yes, Dr. Brown?
Is it hard to keep faith when you're afflicted as you and your husband are?
Dr. Brown, every time I have a moment when I'm angry with fate for taking away my sight, I say to myself, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if my husband and I sometimes wonder a little that we were blighted while others see, we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then we find peace.
Strange as it seems, Fanny Crosby, who wrote over 6,000 hymns, among them some of the most famous in the world, was blinded when only 6 weeks old. She eventually became a teacher in the New York Institution for the Blind, and while there, married Alexander Van Alstyne, who was her pupil.